I set out this morning saying, good morning. The Lord made this day. And God is love. And so we're going to look at this morning what I call precious love. Last week, Peter, we're in 1 Peter, and last week Peter spent 6 verses speaking to Christian wives. So this morning, Peter's going to speak 1 verse to Christian husbands. Why is that? Are Christian husbands more spiritual, more inept, more? No, they're not. But what was happening is Christian-wise, were experiencing this new situation, and they needed guidance with that. Because back in the Roman Empire, in general, women were repressed. And they found some new freedom in Christ, and that created problems and challenges for them. And many of them had unsaved husbands. So Paul had to give them, Paul, Peter, extra encouragement and enlightenment. So today, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 verse. Verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, them is wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, there are 4 areas of responsibility for us to pay attention to in that verse. Physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. It talked about the wife being the weaker vessel. Husband and wife are both vessels. Scripture says they should be vessels of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. They're both vessels, both are weak. Now, the women as a rule is the weaker. The weaker the vessel, the more tenderly it should be treated. If I gave my grandson, Elisha, a rock to carry over across the street and come back again, and then I gave him an egg to carry across the street and come back again, he would be a lot more careful with the egg, wouldn't you? Because it's more fragile. He could stumble, trip, and drop the rock and no problem. But if you did that with the egg, all is lost. This is the physical responsibility that Peter is talking about with the wife. He says the husband must dwell with the wife. dwell implies much more than just living at the same address. We got to understand, guys, marriage is fundamentally a physical relationship. The two shall become one. One plus one equals one. A truly spiritual husband is going to fulfill his duties and love his wife. And that means way more than Genesis 1:28. Which says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So, very seriously, husbands must make time to be home with your wife. You have to make time. There was a survey. You know what the survey said? It revealed that the average husband and wife spent a whole total of 37 minutes a week actually communicating with each other. 37 minutes. So no wonder marriages fall apart after the children grow up and leave. The husband and the wife are left alone to live as strangers. They don't know each other. Dwell with them also suggests that it is the husband that provides the physical and the material needs of the home. And no, Peter is not saying that a wife can't have a job. Or she can't have a career of her own. He's not saying that. Scripture says it is the primary responsibility for the mother, the wife, is to care for the home. And it is the husband that should provide as the provider. But then we move on to the intellectual responsibility that husbands have. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to wisdom or knowledge, it says. A Christian, I turned that off. No, we didn't. A Christian husband needs to know his wife's moods, feelings, her needs, her fears. He needs to know her hopes. And to know all that, we have to listen with the heart. There has to be in the home such an atmosphere of love and submission that the husband and wife can disagree and still be happy together. Then comes emotional responsibilities. And Peter says that involves giving honor to the wife. Now, chivalry may be dead today, not in all cases, but every husband has to be her knight in shining armor, who treats his wife like a princess. Last week, Peter said that wives should emulate Sarah, right? Did you know? Sarah, her name means princess. Now, Peter was not saying that the wife is the weaker vessel mentally or morally, or that she's weaker spiritually. That's not what Peter was saying. I think he generally was talking physique-wise. And there's exceptions to that. But generally speaking, the man is stronger in the physical accomplishments, which makes sense biblically that males should not compete with females in the same sport, doesn't it? They have an advantage there. I haven't seen too many cases where there was females going to court to participate in male sports. It's always the other way around. But that's another thing. But husbands, being the knight in shining armor, should treat the wife like an expensive, beautiful, delicate vase that contains a precious treasure. I think about when a young couple starts dating. You notice how courteous and thoughtful the boy is? And then comes the engagement period. They actually get engaged. He's even more courteous. In everything he does, he's a perfect gentleman. But sad to say, after they get married, many husbands forget to be kind and gentlemanly, and they start taking their wife for granted. He forgets that the happiness in a home is made up of many little things. The small courtesies of life. And the big resentments, they also grow from the small hurts. Giving honor to the wife does not mean giving in to the wife and she gets everything she wants. Because as the spiritual leader, the husband sometimes has to make decisions that are not popular. But he can still act with courtesy and respect. Because giving honor means the husband respects his wife's feelings, her thinkings, her ideas. May not always agree with her ideas, but he can respect them. You ever notice how often God balances off a marriage where the husband's needs, the wife has in her personality, and just the opposite? Likewise, the wife's needs show up in her husband. They're his qualities. And so the husband is like the thermostat in a home. He sets the emotional and the spiritual temperature. And the wife is quite often the thermometer, because she lets the husband know what temperature it is in the home. Both are necessary. We can't have an efficient heating system here without a thermometer and a thermostat. So a husband that is sensitive to his wife's feelings will not only make her happy, but he will grow and he will help his children live in a home that honors God. Then the fourth responsibility, spiritual. That your prayers may be not hindered, Peter says. So Peter assumes here that husbands and wives pray together. And if unbelieving couples can have a happy marriage, happy home, without prayer, and many do, how much happier are Christians' homes with prayer? Exponentially better, no? And the Bible tells us that the husband and the wife, they are fellow heirs of the grace of life. What is the grace of life? Well, God shows grace to husband individually and wife individually and single people individually, right? He also gives grace to the marriage collectively because the husband and the wife have become one. Therefore, each must honor the other. There's no true love that's not founded in mutual respect. It cannot be one-sided. Husbands and wives, love one another best when they love God first. A love that is founded on youth and beauty will fade when the youth and the beauty give way to age, wrinkles, commonliness. But the love that is cemented together by the inner beauty is everlasting and pure. And Peter says, there's a danger lurking around here if we neglect these duties that he lays out. And that is that your prayers be hindered. You cannot pray aright if you sin against the law of love. God has made the husband and the wife one in holy matrimony. And they must not allow misunderstandings or jealousies to separate that union, even for a season, lest they'll sin against one another or against God. And then their prayers would be hindered and unable to reach the grace, the throne of grace. There's something of a sweetness and a blessedness in prayer. And us knowing this, we must be, I'll use the word again, we must be jealous of anything that makes our prayers less acceptable and less earnest to God. So the husband and the wife should live together in holy love. We're only doing the one verse today because to keep God's word clear in what he's saying, you don't want to overpower it with too many topics. So a quick little recap was Christian wives. He says, remember your promise of obedience. And if your husbands are not living in the faith of Jesus Christ, try to win them first with God's word. And then, by holy example, with the quiet strength of gentleness and simplicity of dress and ornament, adorning yourselves in your soul rather than your bodies. And he says, Christian husbands, be tender and loving and strive to be the spiritual leader of the home. Is that going to happen overnight? No. It's not. You're going to make some poor decisions. But you continue in prayer for wisdom and guidance. And then you wives, you have to hold back from saying, I told you so. That wasn't going to work. Because you have to be patient. It's not up to you to change your husband. That's God's job. And God is working always toward the largest harmony, the most common denominator. And he does not show favoritism. So, if your prayer of words is the opposite of everything else you do in your life that's demanding something else, it's not going to be heard. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your whole strength has to be in alignment with your prayers. Husbands, love your wives. And there was a couple of scriptures I came into my thought process here. One was in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. He says, I say, love your enemy. Bless them who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And in Ephesians 5, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. In both of those scriptures, that word love, love your enemies, husbands, love your wives, the word is agape, a Christ-like love, self-sacrificing, giving love. Both cases. So let the husband and the wife live together in the fear of God and in constant prayer, prayers that are for the glory of God. And so, Lord, that is our prayer for you today, that we live together with our wives in holy matrimony, in self-sacrificing, godly love, giving honor to each other, and building up a home for our children that glorifies God. Help us do this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The all-church sing that is coming up in January will be here at Wonder. If you have that day free, that would be the 5th of January.